We are the raging, raging grannies. We don't hide in nooks and crannies. We stand up for peace and justice, even when the police bust us. Join with the raging, raging grannies. Time to get up off your fannies. The world needs folks to take a stand. And that's why we're the Grannies.
Okay, a little applause there for the Raging Grannies. That song is titled Grannies Stand for Peace and Justice, and it was sung by the Raging Grannies of Madison. Actually, it was on September 26th of 2024, and it was at the opening of the exhibit that we'll talk a bit about today with our guests. It's the exhibit's title, It's All the Rage, Activism, Aging, and Raging Grannies. And the exhibit's open until February 7th, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, we're going to find out about it today as we visit with three members of the Raging Grannies of Madison. One of them, Susan Bickley. Susan, welcome.
Thank you.
Barbara Park. Welcome to you. They're both in the studio. Thank you for coming by. And with us by phone, Bonnie Block. Bonnie, thank you for chiming in.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
As we talk with the three members of the group, I hope you'll join in. Have you been a part of the group itself? Have you maybe heard them sing at some event? What do you think about the group itself and about protests? I mean, this is kind of an activist group. What do you think of that, too? Number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Barbara, maybe I could start with you and give us a little... This you're a Madison group,
right?
But you're part of an international organization. How did it all get started?
Well, it got started in Vancouver, British Columbia, with a group of women who were part of a anti-nuclear activists.
Okay.
And a U.S. submarine, nuclear submarine, came into the harbor there, So they rented canoes, these women, and went out to sing to the sailors as a protest to having nuclear power or this nuclear sub in the harbor. And they were not greeted well, apparently. They used fire hoses on them. So they came back again with umbrellas.
So they didn't have to kind of protect themselves from getting all wet, in other words.
Yes. So they formed a group called the Raging Grannies that ended up going across Canada and the United States. And I think there might even be some in Europe.
Okay. So what is the requirement for being a member? Is there an age minimum?
There is no age minimum. You do not have to be a grandmother. You do not have to be anything except against war and for the things we believe in mightily, which are that we all belong in our society and we fight for the rights that we have.
Yeah, we always say you have to be a woman of a certain age.
Okay. Well, Susie, when did you first encounter the Raging Grannies in Madison? What was your first impression?
Well, I was blown away. I had just finished a long career of teaching and editorial work and being a librarian, and I was looking for what's next when you retire, that moment of anxiety of how am I going to fill my time? And I went to a demonstration at the city-county building where a bunch of the most outrageously dressed women with hats and aprons and political buttons were singing about single-payer health care, a cause near and dear to my heart. And it happened that one of the members there was Nan Cheney, who many in our community here will remember as a great activist in the Madison community. And we had had our kids grow up together and go to the same school. And she said, "Oh, it's good to see you again. Would you like to be a granny?" And I said, "Well, how difficult would that be?" She said, "Well, you just have to come to the next rehearsal." And it was love at sight. And I have been an active granny since 2007. And I carried my Obama Badgers for Obama sign. And we've been together ever since.
Well, how do people generally react when they see and hear this group of older women singing? They're really unique, and we're going to hear some more of your protest songs, but I mean, what's the reaction?
Well, the place we see the public most is at the farmers market, and we sing for the entire season at the farmers market in a corner which now has the Bell Phillips statue in it. So we were happy. She was a Milwaukee granny, and many people don't know there are Milwaukee grannies, but there they are. And we sing right next to her. And of course, we get all kinds of people at the farmers market. We don't ask that people think the way we do, but we ask them to stop and enjoy a song which is heartfelt and about a whole variety of things, from the environment to women's health to anti-war to being in a just society. And we have a following.
Yeah, we have people who come and say, "Have you sung yet? Have you?" They'll ask for a particular song. "Did you sing the uterus song yet?"
And you have a whole catalog of songs, a couple hundred of them. Yeah.
We are about to add a new song, which I can tell you about later, and it will be number 191 in our library. our slogan is, "You got a problem? We got a song for that."
Yeah, we have wonderful songwriters in the group, and yeah, they can just come up with amazing stuff. At the drop of it, if something bugs them, they write a song about it.
Bonnie, I want to get you involved. I understand you heard the Raging Granny sing at an anti-war demonstration, and you experienced how they changed the energy of the event, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I was at that point a part of the Madison Pledge of Resistance, and a group of us went up to the event. And it was interesting because I get tired of speeches after a while. And music and humor really do change the energy. And I could just sort of see people being a little bit more hopeful, a little bit more ready to do something. And I was really impressed by that. It took me a little while after that. But my first granny gig was in 2003. And actually, again, it was on a bus trip to Chicago, and we participated in an anti-war event there. I really like the fact that we're out in the streets. And I think, I've said this before, Reverend Jim Lawson was involved in the student sit-in movement and worked with Martin Luther King Jr., and he always said, "You do your best lobbying in the streets." And I think that's a really critical thing, because when you stand up in public, it's hard for people to ignore that, or for that matter, sit in or lay in,
Mm-hmm.
There are multiple ways. I think it's critical, because people have to speak up. They have to be visible. And the powers that be don't like it. Which is why you often will get this ridiculous police reaction. But I think that, if we don't go away, eventually they have to listen. Jimmy Carter, bless him, he had this wonderful line. He said, "What you need to do," and he was talking as a Christian, he said, "What you need to do is you need to do a good thing. You need to do all that you can, as much as you can, wherever you can, for as long as you can."
Oh.
And I really take that to heart.
Yeah. It's an excellent sentiment to take to heart. Joan and Hobart has something for us. Let's go there for a minute. Joan, hi.
Hi. I'm delighted that you took my call. I was a member of the Raging Grannies when I had a winter place in Tucson, Arizona. And my question is there a Raging Grannies around Green Bay, Hobart, Pulaski, that part of the state?
Ah, so is there
not sure.
The Green Bay area possibly, Sue?
Not as far as I know, but back in 2011, four Raging Grannies from Madison went up to Eagle River to meet with the most wonderful group of women who wanted to form a granny group up in Eagle River. And we worked for 2 days together to make costumes for them and get their hats with enough buttons on them to satisfy us. And Joanne Berner at the Many Ways for Peace Center in Eagle River hosted us for an evening in which the Madison Raging Grannies sang with the nascent Eagle River Grannies, North Woods Grannies, I think they called themselves. And the day after our first meeting, one of their grannies came in the morning with a song she wrote. And it was a song to the tune of Sentimental Journey. And it was about the war of Governor Walker on labor rights in Madison, for which we all know it was a very active time for pretty much everybody I know. And so we had great hope for that group, and we even sang that Betsy song at Bob Fest the next year. So we don't know of any group except the Milwaukee group.
There is one group just north of Milwaukee, but I'm not sure which town they're in.
One of the things, I mean, you guys have an active Facebook page, right?
Yes.
Which I actually went on it and took a look. And maybe, Joan and Hobart, you might want to post a comment or a question, and maybe you could talk Susie and Barbara, Bonnie, or somebody else to come up to Green Bay area and help you get one started.
Absolutely. I even tried to get one started in Alaska when my daughter was there. Some people came and said, could you start a group here? So,
oh, man.
Sort of a nascent group as well that meets sometimes and not others. In the northeastern Wisconsin, the Sheboygan area. And for a while there was a group in Green Bay. I used to live there for 12 years. You know, I think it's ripe for a group. But the gaggles of grannies do come and go, too. It depends on, you know, how many people there are who can be active.
Yeah. Joan, there you go. What's your, if you just type in Raging Grannies.
Right, and
Raging Grannies of Madison.
Of Madison.
Right, and then it actually comes to me.
Ah.
So, Joan, I will keep your, I will keep a lookout.
Bob.
Yes, I will keep a lookout for your.
Okay. Joan, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Susan Bickley, Barbara Park, and Bonnie Block are all members of the Raging Grannies of Madison. I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments. We got John and Eau Claire on coming up with a question. What about you? The number's 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking today with three members of the Raging Grannies, decades of tuneful protest, I guess was a good way to put it, with them. Susan Bickley, Barbara Park, and Bonnie Block are all members of the Raging Grannies of Madison. And I hope you'll join in with your own thoughts, questions, or comments. The number is 800-642-1234. You could email us to talk at WPR.org. And now let's give John and Eau Claire a chance to join in. John, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. Satire is such a lovely, lovely way to take some of the to take some of the emotions down on topics, like especially political ones. And my question was whether or not you guys avoid certain topics because they could become so polarizing, or if you avoid changing the words to any particular songs that might be offensive. I'm thinking like the Star Spangled Banner, for example.
Barb, you want to?
Well, we don't use that one.
Yeah.
But I think controversial topics we try to address with humor and with satire and humor, and you can get away with a lot of things if you keep it light and amusing. Mm. And you can still get your message across. As a matter of fact, people are more likely to listen if you have some humor and if you're a bunch of old ladies in funny dress.
And you are in funny dress.
We are.
Right. Yeah, we wear flowered hats and aprons and shawls. And, we don't look very offensive.
No, you look a little mini Pearlish.
Yes.
Mini Pearl type.
Well, yeah.
Sort of,
yeah.
I think the other thing that is really good is that we also poke fun at ourselves.
Yeah, Bonnie.
Along with poking fun at others or those in power. And I think that's important, too, some sense of humility of we're in this together.
I agree with you, Bonnie. And I'm looking at a copy of a Granny Peace song that we have been singing since 2009 about where the granny's trekking through and will move right over you with the Granny Peace Brigade. But the first verse actually says, our eyesight's growing weaker and our hearing's almost shot. Our breasts are slowly sagging and our figure's gone to pot. But the important thing is our voice is growing stronger and we will not be forgot. We're the Granny Peace Brigade.
I love it. Tim and Stephen Spoyne emailed to say he got to see the Raging Grannies perform at the Musicians for Gun Sense event this past fall. And Jeff, I don't know if you've got that song up. Yeah, and I think it's to the tune of Bella Cho.
That's correct.
We are a country that has a problem. Too many guns, too many shootings. We ask how can we build a safer future? 'Cause we need to start right now. We are aware that thoughts and prayers, while kindly meant, don't prevent hearing pow. We need new laws that have some claws, and we need to pass them now. No more bump stocks or semi-autos. Make background checks universal. Do it now. We need to build a safer future. And we need to start right now.
There it is. How do people react when they hear that song?
Energized, I think.
I think so. And I think Deborah, who's our director at the farmer's market, especially, she points out that there are more children killed by gun violence than by cancer. You know, it's the biggest thing that causes children to die. And that, to me, is just absolutely outrageous. You know, as a grandmother, it just, infuriates me.
The raging, just looking at sort of the range of songs, there's a suffrage song about taking up the cause of suffrage movement of the late 1800s. It's called Thanks, Susan B. Anthony. And I'm pretty sure Jeff's got a piece of that too. Let's listen to that particular song.
But what have we done with the rights they won for me and you? Do we vote, hold office, make them proud? Do you and you? Do we stand up strong and speak our minds the way this Anthony
And what's the reaction to that one, Barb?
It's always positive.
Yeah.
We sang that song at the Women's March in 2016 from the top of the Capitol steps with literally 10,000 people watching. And the women in the audience cheered and cheered for Susan B. because she did the right thing. And we have used that since because it's a real motivator. And if anything, we want people to vote. We don't tell them how to vote. We never back a candidate. But we want everybody to vote.
Yeah. Bonnie, sounded like you wanted to join in there for a minute.
Well, I think voting rights are critical. I mean, I think today it's January 6th. And after the, you know, in 2020 when we had the insurrection at the Capitol, it bothers me greatly that we try to use violence instead of using voting to bring about change.
Yeah. Susie, you marched in the 60s, back in the 60s, for the reproductive rights for women. And here you are. I'm wondering how it feels to be demonstrating for the same thing all these years later.
I am disheartened, but I am also highly motivated. It is intolerable that we fought in the 60s for rights. I grew up in Massachusetts, and in Massachusetts, you couldn't buy contraception unless you were married. We never used the word abortion because we didn't even go that far. We were really looking for basic rights and basic health. And it's shocking. It is truly shocking for all of us. I mean, our hearts stopped on the day of the Dobbs decision. It was truly unexpected that they could actually take these rights away after 50 years of women having the right and having care. And the aggression and the misogyny that has followed that makes it even harder to take. When we saw during all the last years since that decision how many women have died unnecessarily, almost all unnecessarily, trying to give birth or miscarrying and not being able to get care, dying in parking lots and bathrooms. I don't have words for it, really.
Yeah. You also off air, you were talking, and somebody called or emailed, I think, from Arizona, who had worked for the Raging Grannies in Arizona. So that's they are involved in a different, well, they're probably involved in a variety of things, but you were talking about some of the work they're doing in Arizona.
In Arizona, I think the main cause for the grannies has been helping migrants who have crossed over the border and who are stranded in one way or another. They bring water, they bring socks because they don't have shoes and it's their feet are a problem. And those grannies have gone to jail for this time and time again. I don't have the details of who and when, but it's an ongoing struggle.
Let's switch our attention a little bit to Bonnie. You were demonstrating against U.S. drone warfare.
For 13 years we did a monthly vigil witnessing against the drone warfare training and the housing of these unmanned vehicles. And I got arrested multiple times because whenever we just set foot on the base rather than being outside the gates, the sheriff was called, and we would get taken to be booked in Boston. And I did, most of the time it was, you know, it was a civil action, and we paid a fine. But on one occasion, I think it was 2014. Anyway, I and another regular vigiler, we took a public bus tour up the base. It's the only time I've gotten onto the base to see it. And at the end, you stop at the National Guard Museum. And we had a quarter-page leaflet to express the problems we saw with drone warfare in terms of most of the victims are innocent people of all ages. And that we shouldn't be engaged in this war on terror because it is a form of terrorism itself. So anyway, we went to trial on it, and we were found guilty. And I refused to pay the fine, so I did do 5 days in the Juneau County Jail, which was a very interesting experience because the ones on my, quote, pod were all white women, fairly young, and all of them had children who were in foster care. Only one had been convicted of a drug offense and was serving 1 year sentence. The rest were all there because they couldn't make bail. And it really showed me up close and personally what our mass incarceration justice system is like. And so, yeah, that's been a passion of mine. And we finally stopped because we were all getting too old and too few to continue the vigil. And I'm sad about that. But and actually, I want to share one other story about the abortion issue. At the farmer's market, there has been very consistently this past summer, and I think even before that, this young man who has a sandwich board sign that says, come to Jesus, abortion is murder. And we've all talked with him, and we have respectful conversations about how we disagree. But what is so funny to me is that when we sing our songs, and especially the If My Uterus Were a Gun song, he's tapping his foot along to the music. And I just think that is so funny, and it's another example of how music bridges gaps.
Somebody else is wondering, and I maybe ask you all three of you this question: How do your families feel about doing this? Maybe even especially grandkids and so forth. Susie, let's start with you.
Well, my children are very supportive and proud, and they bring their friends to come sing us at the farmers market. We have a very blended family. We have gay people, we have trans people, we have, I guess, the same variety that many families have now. And when we sing at the Gay Pride Parade, I think our kids are really proud because so many of the people who are marching will say to us, I can't tell you what I would give to have my grandmother approve of what I'm doing. Mm. It's very powerful.
Yeah. Barb, what about you?
Well, my husband does of all of our technical work, runs our website, so he's very much approves.
And Bonnie?
Well, my husband, we have what we call granny groupies, and there's a big button that they can wear when, you know, we sing at events. My husband is very supportive and often comes, you know, to the farmer's market or to other events and listens to us, so that's great. And my grandchildren are both very supportive. They think it's great that I'm doing what I'm doing. And my son, too, for that matter. Well, one isn't so enthused. One is very supportive.
Okay. Well, we have a clip of the Raging Grannies performing the song The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. They were singing on the Capitol Square. I think this was recorded back in 2011 in August. When this recording was made. So let's get a listen to the Money and Politics song.
Did you ever wonder why we keep on starting wars? Why poor folks' kids are sent to die while CEOs make more? Why votes are counted up by those who sell the voting machines?
It's 'cause
we've got a corporatocracy thanks to the Supremes. Did you ever wonder who will run for office since Supreme Court lifted limits? It really makes us wince. The rich will buy the candidates, and if you wonder why,
it's because
we've got the best democracy that ever money can buy.
Oh, man. Susie, in November, billions of dollars were spent on the presidential election campaigns. How do these vast amounts of money, in your mind, affect the priorities of the people elected?
Well, there's a reason why with every election we worry that tomorrow our health care might be taken away. There is so much money in politics thanks to the Supreme Court Citizens United, which says anything goes. And so now we are on the cusp of a corporatocracy, big time, maybe an oligarchy. We don't know what we're in for right now. But money in politics is where it started, and it's not helping us.
You know, what are the advantages, or what do you think older women have as protesters?
Well, for one thing, we can get away with it. I mean, people listen because we're so non-threatening. I think people sometimes are surprised, maybe, that we're out there, but nobody is, like I say, we're just, so people are more willing to listen.
But nobody's going to throw a tomato at you at the farmer's market when you're singing.
No.
No, they're very, we get very good responsive crowds, and we're so non-threatening that people are, that I think it makes it easier to hear when we're using humor and we're old.
One of the things I love at the farmer's market, and at other events as well, young women come up to us, and they are so excited about the fact that we're singing and doing this. And I find my hope a lot centered on young people, because I think, you know, the students that walked out of West High to demand gun control, I just think that is very powerful and very hopeful.
Yeah, what we've been doing a lot with the university students with this display at the Helen B. White.
No, Nancy
Nicholas. Why do I keep calling it the wrong thing? And so we've been invited to some classes and stuff. And I think one of the questions that the students had that has stayed with me was, she said, my grandmother doesn't think she needs to do anything for global warming. What can I tell her? Because we were singing climate song. What can I tell her that makes her realize that this is an important issue? I said, well, she may not be around, but you will be. You know, it's care for you, as not so much for her. So I think for the students, we're kind of a model of what they could be, what they could grow into, you know, when they are older, that growing older is not a wall.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned the event at the Nancy Nicholas.
Right. If I get the right word, right place.
Susie, maybe you can tell us about the, give us the particulars of it, because it's still going on.
It is still going on. It's open until February 7th. And we were very excited about this. It came about through our relationship with Chris Garlow, who is a professor in the Gender and Women's Studies Department. And she has been teaching about the Raging Grannies for years in her class, and she finally revealed that she had been watching us for years and coming secretly to the farmer's market. But she and Sarah Carter, who is the School of Human Ecology Executive Director, and a third person, Svea Larsson, who is a PhD student in Scandinavian Studies at Madison. So they have, the three of them, curated an exhibit of what it means to grow older and be an activist. And we got to sing at the opening. But they are not as interested in the politics of it all as they are in the items that go along with it. The stitchery, the crocheted uteruses that we wear on our apron, the decorations,
the hats,
the embroidery, the hats. So, but it's been a wonderful marriage of all of those things to create an exhibit. It's on two floors at Nancy Nicholas, the first floor and the third floor. And it was very exciting for me. I'd never been at a modern exhibit where every exhibit you could use your phone and use a QR code to get a granny reading you a story or singing songs or showing some of our gigs in the past. There are drawers to pull out, and there are hundreds of buttons going way back to from the beginning of our granny time. And samples of our hats, wearing all our buttons, and as well as live performances, which I think some of your music today was taken from live performances. So it's a wonderful exhibit, and it is still vacation time there, so parking will be easier, and there's a lot to see. There's even a cutout of two grannies where you can put your face in there and have your picture taken.
Oh, boy. Oh, talking today with Susan Bickley, Barbara Park, and Bonnie Block, all members of the Raging Grannies of Madison. Story to tell, question to ask, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, email address talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking with three members of the Raging Grannies of Madison as our guest today here on the show, and I hope you'll join. They're a protest group, but they use singing. They have almost 200 songs about about the broadest range you can imagine of topics and issues that affect us all. And it's great to talk with them. And I hope you'll join in again. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. Ray in Madison called, couldn't stay with us. Ray is turning 94 next month, and he knew several former Raging Grannies, including the late Nan Cheney, a prominent Madison peace activist. How many members do you have in the, or I imagine this is not a, is this a dues-paying sign-up roster, or is it show up when you can, or how does it work?
It's surprisingly efficient, but we have no formal leadership. We have regular rehearsals. We meet twice a month for 2 hours each time, and there's no messing around during that time. We've got full agendas because we practice before we do any performance. And we have probably about 35 active members of the Grannies, but a big granny gig would be 20, 21 people, which is what we hope to expect when we have some important work to do. But there's no formal leadership. We don't hold elections. We don't have offices. We don't have dues. There's no financial buy-in. We are earnest. We're a community of women who care not only about the environment and peace and social justice, but about each other. And during COVID, the grannies were a community even when we couldn't protest, and people walked together or Zoomed together. But we care for each other. I mean, we're of a certain age where we are all vulnerable. Some of us are alone. Some of us have family. But you have the grannies.
And we call ourselves a disorganization. But really, we're not, because it's just that we have roles that get passed around. So So somebody is the presider of the meeting, so they work on the agenda and run the meeting. But the next time, somebody else does it. Somebody takes notes and somebody else volunteers to take them the next time. So it's not that we're not intrinsically organized, but we don't have a hierarchy.
So, yeah, it reminds me of a group I've belonged to for a long time that the one rule was that anyone suggesting that anything formal, rules and regulations, would be immediately kicked out of the organization.
That's our kind of organization.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Kathy in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Larry. And hi, everybody. I am one of the Raging Grannies of Madison. And I just had a quick little extension to the earlier caller who asked if there were any topics that were particularly, particularly touchy or difficult even for us to try to sing about. And yes, that is the case from time to time, the Israel-Palestine issue being one of them.
Sure.
But what we try very hard to do to solve it in writing our songs is to sing about the issue and not take one side or the other. In other words, you know, we're against brutality and we're against the killing of children and things mm-hmm. like that. And so what we try to do is sing about fanaticism as the enemy, not one side or the other side. And we also try not to sing about any one particular politician, but sometimes we fail at that resolution.
Kathy, thanks for calling. And
Kathy is one of our big songwriters.
Yes.
To give her total credit.
Yeah. One other song we have that is we've talked about, do we sing it with children present? Because it's written as though you're a 5-year-old and you're wondering about going to school and will you get shot today? You know, who will take care of me?
It's really a powerful song.
It is a very powerful song, but we worry about, you know, kids hearing it, because they are faced, you know, especially after the school shooting we've had here, you know, they're aware and they face these stupid drills and, you know, all of the stuff that goes with trying to keep school safe. So that is a tough one for us. I mean, we have the song, we do sing it, but we are careful.
Yeah, I have one other song we could play, and let's do it. It was at the opening of the exhibit, All the Rage. You sang. I don't think we've played this yet. Frère Jacques, to the tune of Frère Jacques, and it has to do with clean energy and pipelines. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's listen to that.
No more pipelines. No more pipelines.
Played that, and the reason is that we attach that song to talking about the Bad River Indians and their fight of the Enbridge pipeline, which is very much on people's mind around the state of Wisconsin. Mm. They are the guardrails, as it were, for the whole Lake Superior, which feeds millions of people around the country, not just Wisconsin, for sure. And one of our members, Barb Arnold, has a son who is the counsel for their legal suits against Enbridge, and it is an ongoing and dangerous situation because the pipeline is now old and it has it was at one time buried, but now it is above ground, which means it's vulnerable to break or to be destroyed, in which case oil is going to pour into Lake Superior. So it's very much on our minds, and we try to bring that issue up wherever we go because it's ours. It's ours to fight, and it's ours to support them who are doing the hard work.
Samantha in Whitehall has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Samantha.
Hi, this is Samantha. Yes, how old do you have to be, and what area, how far away do people come to be in this group? And also, there used to be a group in Trumbull County that called the Sizzling Seniors that would promote things and be in different like parades in the county for awareness for the Trumbull County and Wisconsin area. So I understand how important it is. And I'll take my answers off air.
Okay, thank you, Samantha. So do you have to live in Madison, or you know, how far away from Madison could you be to be still be a member of the group?
Well, yeah,
and aged. I guess age is not.
Age is, we always say you have to be a woman of a certain age so you can decide what that is. We have had people who we've had both mother and daughter in the group. And I'd say in terms of the Madison group, you need to be close enough to get to rehearsals because we really like people to be at the rehearsal prior to any particular gig, so that you have a chance to practice.
Yeah, of course. And the rehearsals probably, do they vary, I suppose?
They're the second and fourth Mondays of the month.
Second and fourth, and does the location vary?
Between those two, but they're both near Central Madison.
Near Central Madison.
Yeah.
So, okay. So for our caller, if you're... if you're within driving distance and could show up a couple times a month to the practices, which obviously you want to practice a bit.
But if you're not in that range, we can always encourage you to start another group.
Yeah. Nancy in Birchwood called to say, "You go, girls." Nancy says if she lived in Madison, she would be singing with you for sure. And Nicole emailed and identified herself as a Raging Grannies grouper. And do the Grannies have plans, something in connection? What's your next gig, I guess, is what the question is.
Oh, Saturday we're singing at the Capitol at 9 o'clock. It's a unity gathering, building unity.
Yeah, building
gathering.
Unity.
And we're singing at their kickoff of it. They have a 2-day conference there. And so we're singing for their kickoff at 9 o'clock in the morning at the Capitol.
There you go. Well, it has been interesting and a pleasure talking with you both, all three of you today on the show. I enjoyed it very much, and I'm sure our listeners did as well. So thank you, and keep going, keep singing.
Thank you so much for having us.
Susan Bickley, Barbara Park, and Bonnie Block, all members of the Raging Grannies of Madison. And as I said, if you go online to their Facebook page and you give yourself more of an idea of all the things that they do and all of the singing that they do as well. So thanks to them, and thanks to our team, Claire Kniper, Joel Patnott, our technical directors, our Lee Rayburn, Jeff Robin, Clara, and Joel are, of course, our producers. Our executive producer is Jill Nadeau. And I'm Larry Mueller, and thank you so much for listening, and stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.